The numbers told the story. They always do.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in this morning, we appreciate it. It's all brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It is Gil Alexander and, ladies and gentlemen, producer number 9, Kelly Midland Bidlin. How you doing, Kelly?
Yeah, let's go, Gil.
Can we just play that for two
minutes? I want to play it for 2 hours. I really just want to play it underneath us for 2 hours. It's so fantastic.
Kelly referring to the Edwin Diaz intro for the New York Metropolitans.
Wait, was that not clear? Did I not sound exactly like it, Gil?
Oh, come on. It was like the soundtrack. you said this off air. I'm going to repeat this. Are we supposed to know who Timmy Trumpets is?
Yeah, I didn't get that. There's people I legit know tweeting yesterday, Edwin Diaz with the Timmy Trumpets helping out with the intro. I'm like, you don't know who that is. Why are we tweeting his name?
It's the best thing. You know how SVP does? Best thing I saw today? It's the best thing I saw yesterday.
Oh, it's amazing. It's the greatest thing in baseball right now. And somehow it keeps getting better. Like, I mean, we're adding live musicians onto the field. How do you feel if you're the opposing team? Because it's getting quite absurd, right?
Oh, I think it's hard not to get wrapped up into yourself a little bit. Like, wow, what a scene this is. Best thing I saw in sports, even better than Serena. We'll get to that here in a moment. Today on the show, Adam Kramer, college football tonight. And boys, there's some college football this weekend as well. Adam Kramer joins us to discuss. Will Hill, his college football picks, baseball, NFL. We'll do all that. Drew Dinsick return U.S. Open appearance today on the show. How about that? And I'll get to my picks here momentarily. Yesterday we split again, just lost, I think, 20 cents of juice in the mix. Remember, we had that big plus 445 dog that didn't get home, so we're 2-1 the rest of the day. And then Numbers Game Hall of Famer Todd Wishnev at the end of the show once again. Back-to-back appearances, second of two. We look forward to that. What could possibly go wrong there? And I believe it's teasers today, Kelly?
Yeah, teaser time.
Teaser Thursdays.
Teaser Thursdays.
Because Matt took Teaser Tuesdays.
Yeah.
We have Teaser Thursdays on this show. Hope you'll enjoy it. That's coming up as well. Oh, so yesterday, we should recap the old tennis. Yesterday, again, 2-2, as I mentioned. Lost the plus 445 dog flyer in the morning. 2-1 after that. Wins on Galan and on the great Ludmila Samsonova. But we lose on Beatriz Haddad-Maia, which is our first future to go down, by the way. Tip of the cap to Bianca Andreescu, who got it down. Haddad-Maia had her chances, had her break opportunities, could never get one. And Bianca Andreescu really conjured up some of that 2019 flair, that 2019 form. And so good on the Canadian BB Andreescu to get it done. So 2-2, just a loss of actually 10 cents juice in the mix at the number we got it at, probably about 20 cents if you played all ours when we got to air yesterday. Today, three plays. Now, here's how this goes, and this is why I can't wait to have Drew on. One of the things when you dive into any sport, a baseball slate, a football slate, but certainly on a tennis slate when it's men's and women's, you really don't know what you're going to get when you dive into them vis-a-vis the numbers. And so, you know, we've had four picks every day so far in the first 3 days. Two days were winners, and then yesterday the 10-cent loss. So I go through the men's matches that were on today, 15 of them. Isner withdrew with a wrist injury. Not a single play. Not a single play. I'm like, wow, this is interesting. I wonder if we'll even have plays today. Then I get to the women's side of things. There's 16 matches. Kelly, when I tell you I could have played 7 underdogs, I'm not lying to you.
Okay.
So the
where thing, they at then? Come on.
Where they at? Where they at? Jamaica Queens. Here's the thing. I hope I picked the right two of them. The two that I like the best. One of which has gone against us. One of which has gone for us. Now, the one favorite we're playing is Marie Buskova. She's taking on Karolina Pliskova. Buskova's numbers are spectacular on hard courts here recently. Minus 125 is the play on Buskova. That's right around where it is. Yue Yuan, you can get a better price than I got here. I got plus 181. She's taking on Irina Camelia Begu. And so plus 181 is what we're taking on, Yuan Yue, and you can get about plus 190. And yes, it's Yue Yuan. Now, the one that is not as good of a price as the one I got was on Linda Fruvertova. She is a young Czech player. She is 17 years old. I was about to sing the Rick James song 17, but I decided not to. Linda Fruvertova, plus 164. You could probably get her, what are you showing, like plus 140s right now on her?
I'm seeing plus 150.
Okay, so that's still playable. I wouldn't let it get below plus 145-ish. She's taking on Garbiñe Muguruza, who's a two-time Grand Slam singles champ. Fruvertova's numbers are spectacular. So I landed as the two dogs, anyway, after Buzkova, on Yuan and Fruvertova. I'm very curious to see which dog. I'm guessing. Maybe Drew saw it completely differently. But I'm going to guess if we're somewhat simpatico, he's going to find some dogs on the lady side as well, some underdogs. So we'll get to that a little later. But those are the picks today. The biggest thing in tennis, and let me just say this also, Kelly, because there's going to be inevitably some people who are like, wow, this guy really talks about tennis a lot. It's the U.S. Open. Tennis is one of the most bet sports globally, period. Why the United States sports better doesn't gravitate towards it is a little fascinating to me. And a lot of it is, if you build it, they will come. Many of my Friday arguments with Vinny had to do with that, where he's like, well, Gil, I know my audience, they don't play. Well, why don't you put them out there and see what happens?
Yeah. It's all that to me.
It's fascinating
to me. If there were simply more tournaments in the United States that we could watch it in easier hours to view it, it would be far more popular.
That's right. The European sports better, the global sports better beyond Europe can wake up at different hours, can process that. We don't have time for that. We got football to bet on. But Serena last night, Serena Williams, the great 23-time singles Grand Slam champion, Serena Williams, not only won her first round match that she was supposed to, but she beats Annette Contivate last night. She conjured up, again, talking about conjuring up past form, she looked really good at times. She's currently ranked 413th in the world. By the way, I think it was 610 before the tournament or something like that. And now here's a graph. This is from Micah Adams, and I'm going to get into this from a betting perspective because there's a nice little betting lesson in this. But what Micah said is, he said, if she somehow pulls this off, lowest ranked Grand Slam champs, and he mentions Kim Clijsters being a wild card in 2009, 212th on the men's side, Mark Edmondson was lowest. And of course, don't remember, that was 1976. Don't forget, of course, Emma Raducanu as a quali last year, winning it as the 150th ranked player in the world. And Goran Ivanisevic makes a graphic as well. But here's the deal. This is one of these, you know how we always say when we're betting football or basketball or baseball or any of our favorite sports, the announcers sometimes can help us as bettors. Listen, we love the Serena story. I even said on the Beating the Book podcast that I did with Drew on the U.S. Open, if Serena can somehow figure out a way to beat Annette Contivate, which she did, I think she gets through the first week. And by that, what I mean is I think she wins her third round match, right, against Ayla Tomljanovic tomorrow night, where Serena is now a minus 160 favorite. But I got a tweet this morning where a young man, his question to me via the old Twitter machine was very simply put, where he said, hey, Gil, any chance you can give an update on the women's quarters? Samsonova, Q4, wondering if there's a hedge. Thanks. Now, if you remember, Ludmila Samsonova is in Serena Williams' quarter. I gave her out as an 8-1 shot to win that quarter number four. I also took her to win the whole thing at a straight 80-1. Ludmila Samsonova is not the best tennis player in the world, but she has the greatest hard court numbers on planet Earth right now. Serena, I can't wait to find out what that price will be. And if the announcers who are gushing all over the great story, and it is a great story for Serena Williams, keep on gushing it up is, I guess, the point of this. The announcers can help a betting market because the more they talk about this amazing Serena narrative, and it is, and I love, I'm the one who sits here and says it's the greatest American sports story of our lifetime, Serena and Venus both. But this is fun. This is great. Is there a chance that a match with Samsonova, where Samsonova with the crowd and you know, everybody being pro Serena, that she could lose her mind and lose her form? Sure, there's always that possibility. But should she in any way get tested by Serena? Tested maybe, beaten by Serena? No, shouldn't happen. So for the gentleman here who tweeted about, hey, what about our Q4 hedge on Ludmila Samsonova? This is John Harris. Thank you, John, for the tweet. My thing with this, Kelly, is always, it's twofold. One, it's the announcers are helping us. And the bigger thing from a betting standpoint is, if you immerse yourself in gambling Twitter and you haven't been gambling for a long time, there seems to be this strange little cottage industry of, I must hedge, right? Yeah. Without really thinking about, well, why are you doing that? You made the bet for a reason. Has anything in your conviction, maybe Serena has, maybe Serena in two matches has made you change your mind so much that you're like, oh, Gil, I know we have a word set. By the way, Ludmila Samsonova, after being 8-1, now the short shot to win that quarter.
Yeah, I was just going to say updated numbers there. Samsonova plus 225, Serena still plus 250. So even all the love she's getting, she's still behind Samsonova. Jabeur 3-1, and then, oh boy, Kudermetova 4-1.
Veronika Kudermetova.
Nailed it.
Well done. Nailed it. It's a Kelly Bidlet staple, everybody. Nailed it. Anyway, so that's the point. Like, I wouldn't hedge it. That nothing has changed. In fact, we are now in a favorable situation.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're talking about, look, if you really think that yourself, the player in the tournament has changed, then it could be worth a hedge,
if
right? But don't listen
changed.
To outside voices that are trying to tell you, trying to convince you of something just for better TV ratings.
That's right. That's exactly right. In the meantime, I hope Serena gets as far as Samsonova. And I hope she exits gracefully. By the way, WNBA, Sky and Aces, even playoff series with wins. Can I make a guest suggestion on this show, Kelly? Remember our old friend Danielle Alvari?
Yeah.
Danielle, who was part of the primetime action crew for about 4 months, she texted me last night. And do you know what her record is in the WNBA? Do you have any idea?
It's wild. I've heard it's wild.
She's 166 on the season. That's 166. 38-12, last 50. Talking about ATS preflop, props, everything she's betting. 16-6 in this postseason.
Man, she's on a roll. I had a little Moneyline parlay winner last night on the two favorites.
Did you?
Yeah.
Look at you. She's also the host of the Los Angeles CityCast, wherever podcasts are distributed.
We'll get her on next week.
Okay, there you go. Adam Kramer, college football next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. College football tonight. Cannot wait for this weekend, including tonight's games, and to help us along with our bets is our college football writer at VSIN, and of course he works at Bleacher Report, one of the iconic Twitter handles of all time, at Kegs and Eggs. It's our buddy Adam Kramer. How you doing, Adam?
Man, I am excited.
Yeah, man.
I know you're excited too. This is our day, right? So Thursday night. You know, we don't have to give way for the NFL just yet. College football has its moment. There's a couple of interesting games, and of course, Saturday is loaded. So I'm feeling good, man.
Let me just ask you some preliminary questions before we get to the games. One, and you wrote a little bit about some of this in every respect at VSiN.com. But one, say your piece about Scott Frost real quick.
This is on me, right? You and I, we liked Georgia last year. We got off to a good start. Not so much this year. I thought Nebraska would fix some things. Mark Whipple, who Scott Frost is already fighting with, his new OC, the new quarterback, and they looked so good for one drive. For about 4 minutes, right? Every Nebraska fan is tweeting at me and friends are texting me, hey, Nebraska's fixed, and then it all falls apart. It's unbelievable that kind of meltdown can translate over the course of two different seasons and multiple continents now, right? That's where we are with Nebraska. So it's hard to capture, and yet still I think it's going to be a decent team. The question is, are they going to be able to avoid single-digit losses again? Because right now we got quite a streak going, man. And at this point, yeah, I think it would be a miracle, even this early, if he keeps his job.
Adam, Scott Frost's buyout goes from $15 million to $7.5 million after October 1st. That's all I'm going to say. $15 million to $7.5 million.
Yep. Happy Halloween to Mr. Frost. I mean, that's the problem, right? And this has been a numbers game, so to speak, for Scott Frost, and they've tried to get the contract in their favor finally. It's not in their favor now, but I guess it's better than it's been.
All right, and the only other thing before we get to the games, we didn't get a chance to talk about this. Michigan, in a very sort of unorthodox move, Jim Harbaugh decides, hey, I got Cade McNamara, I got J.J. McCarthy. Why don't I have one start game one and the other start game two, and then I'll make a decision after that. You're okay with this? You like it.
I like both of these players quite a bit, and it's unorthodox, and we don't get this type of stuff anymore because of the transfer portal. So you normally don't have two really good quarterbacks that are just competing. But they've got very different games, and I actually believe Harbaugh is struggling with this because both are really, really good. So the schedule is cake early on. That's the other big thing. You've got actually some runway to figure this thing out and let it sort itself out. So normally I would say danger zone, obviously not good for either's Heisman chances if you're betting on either. I think McCarthy's the more talented guy. I think that ultimately he will be the guy. But still, because of their schedule, I don't think this is panic time just yet for Michigan.
Okay, tonight we got some college football. We got the backyard brawl. West Virginia and Pitt, and for those who are landing on Earth right now, a little Keaton Slovis action tonight for Pitt, which is going to be very interesting to see. We know him best from his USC days. He's talking a lot. Notice that as well, Adam. You gotta love that. Pitt is a 7.5-point favorite. What do you like here?
I feel like we're just assuming Pitt's going to be very good again. I don't know if you have this vibe. They lost the Biletnikoff Award winner, and they lost the only first-round quarterback, right? They lost some other pieces as well. And, oh, by the way, their offensive coordinator who went over to Nebraska. It feels to me that we're just assuming that Pitt's going to step right in with a quarterback that has been pretty inconsistent. On the other side, if I'm going to make the case for West Virginia, enter JT Daniels, who would be, the poster child of inconsistency. So I think from a quarterbacking matchup, it's really intriguing. I'm kind of buying into West Virginia, though, not just in this game, but in this season. Daniels has got to stay healthy, but I think the talent is there. But more so, man, it just feels like we're a lot of assumptions on Pitt and it's QB and that things are going to be fine. To me, that doesn't account for a lot of production that they lost last year. So in this instance, yeah, I would take the points.
Taking the points. Okay, here's the one I really want to ask you about, and Kelly and I were just talking about this off air. So this is one of these games. It's literally the first – week zero happened, but it's really the first big night of college football. And we have this game between Penn State and Purdue. Now, we take in a lot of information. We hear a lot of people. And it just seems, Adam, like everybody is on Purdue. Everybody. Like, oh, Purdue, you don't want to play Purdue week one. Oh, that's a bad thing for Penn State at Purdue. Are you part of that chorus? And are people going a little too overboard on it, even if you are?
Yeah, I am part of the chorus, but I am interested that the line has crept up from 3 to 3.5 while everyone, including me, seems to be singing for Purdue. Now, I'm not doing it. Yes, this is the Dragon Slayer in the ultimate Dragon Slayer spot. I think, situationally, Aiden O'Connell for Purdue is really good. Went to my high school, by the way, but really good. Like, threw for a ton of yards once he got going. I know they have to replace Bell, the wideout. I think they're going to be able to do it. This is an offense that I think is equipped to really thrive. That, to me, more than just, hey, it's Purdue and they're at home, is a big deal. And then the other thing, this is a Penn State team that kind of went through the gauntlet last year. Started off great, had injuries at quarterback and Clifford, who I think is really good. But they have to figure things out at the offensive line. They have to figure how they're going to replace Dotson. There's a lot of question marks there. So kind of like with Pittsburgh, there's been an assumption that Penn State's just going to sort of return to form here. I just think this is a lively home field spot, which is another theme that carries across not just Thursday night and Saturday. And, yeah, I am a little buyer beware now that there's so much company, but I definitely think Purdue is my play, and I think Purdue is going to win this game.
All right, let's go to Saturday, with apologies to the other games tonight, but let's go to Saturday because let's take these two in tandem because they're obviously similarly lined. Ohio State, 17-point favorites against Notre Dame. Georgia, 17, roughly, point favorites against Oregon. If I came to you from the future and I said, hey, Adam, one of these dogs covered either Notre Dame against Ohio State or Oregon against Georgia, which is the one that did?
I would say it would be Oregon. And I think there'd be a lot of company there as well. Now, let's start with that specific game. Georgia, 15 players drafted. Sparkling defense that they had. And we need to talk about Stetson Bennett because in that national championship first half, I was assuming he was going to get benched.
Yeah,
he wasn't playing that great throughout the stretch of the year. I don't know if he's going to be the starter when their season ends. That quarterback position for them is loaded with really good young players. And I think Stetson Bennett, by the way, is fine. And obviously, second half brilliance, like kudos to him. He's going to get some leash there. But when you look at the talent that they lost, it's not just Jordan Davis or N'Kobe Dean. It's James Cook. It's George Pickens. Look at what he's done. Now, I will say Georgia has maybe the greatest tight end depth chart I've ever seen, like truly, with Brock Bowers and Darnell Washington. But I have concerns, and I think Oregon's defense, is exceptional. I think these are two top 10 defenses. I think the under for me is absolutely a play because I could see Oregon sort of stumbling along, not atypical to what we saw last year against Clemson, and this being a low-scoring, tight game. The question, of course, Oregon offensively is what can they do? Yes, Georgia loses a lot of dudes, but how are the Ducks going to manufacture points? To me, under 52.5 is what I like here.
Okay. Those are obviously the blue blood, the sort of storied programs to talk about, but also some really other intriguing games this weekend, one of which is Utah at Florida. And when last we saw Utah, they were giving Ohio State all kinds of fits in the Rose Bowl last year. What do you make of this game here? Utah minus 2.5 at Florida.
I have struggled with this game since the line was posted. I don't know about you, because everything that I see from a football standpoint tells me that Utah should go to Florida. I don't care how hot it's going to be. I don't care what time the game is and what the environment is. Even though home field is a factor, and they should win this game. Cam Rising, Xavier Thomas. Yes, this team sort of melted down in the Rose Bowl, but you could argue that, you know, Ohio State really went out and won that thing more than Utah lost it. Utah was dealing with injuries. The issue is over the course of the offseason, Utah became, you talk about Purdue getting steam for tonight, Utah became sort of an offseason champion with NC State, right? Those are my two offseason champions, these hype teams. I look at this spread, and I still think Utah is a better team. I know. I wish this game was being played at home. If you're a Utah backer, a Utah fan, you wish the same. But I think Napier's done a really good job at Florida. I'm intrigued by the quarterback. It feels too obvious for me to say I think Utah's going to cover it. And after deciphering all of this stuff, that's still where I land. I think Florida's got a long way to go with its roster. They're doing a really good job recruiting and things that won't show up for years. Ultimately, I still like Utah. I've thought about it a lot. I've looked at it. I think this Utah team is really built incredibly well on both sides of the ball. I think they're going to be a problem for the Gators.
All right, we only have 20 seconds. We're running out of time, but let me just ask you this. Houston's at UT San Antonio. Houston's a 4.5-point favorite. We've had a lot of people here saying, oh, Houston's going to be next year Cincinnati. Then we had Dr. Bob saying Houston's not going to – is they're going to go under. Where do you stand? You think Houston's this year Cincinnati real quick?
I think they can be. I don't think there's going to be next year Cincinnati, but this is an intriguing spot. They ripped off 12 games, 11, 12 wins in a row.
Yeah.
I like them here, but I think it's going to be tough.
One of these early season games that's going to determine so much tone. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man. Talk to you soon.
Adam Kramer, football, ladies and gentlemen. William Hill on football, baseball, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's football season, and bettors know that this is when the money's made. Nobody knows football like VSiN, and now's the time to become a VSiN subscriber and get our comprehensive college and pro guides. Only VSiN subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Sign up early and for a discount at $175, you'll receive both guides and full VSiN access all the way through the Super Bowl. Or join us for $40 a month and see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. See, Kelly, I look up at the screen and it says, was last night proof Serena could win the Open? This is how mainstream media can help us with our bets.
Yep. Yeah. And the,
cause it ain't proof. It ain't proof.
I mean, we talked about it with the, with the television ratings and how that can influence stuff. I mean, those were massive ratings she did in that first match. I mean, that was biggest of the Open and biggest we've seen there in a while. So this is national media is going to be talking about it. It absolutely will influence these numbers.
I was waiting for a, one shining moment, like video montage of her more petulant moments of her career. I was waiting for that to happen. Never really materialized.
There's definitely one loaded ready to go.
One shot. Yeah, just go with that. NFL news this morning. Broncos and Russell Wilson just reached agreement on a 5-year, $245 million contract extension. How about that? That includes $165 million guaranteed, sources telling ESPN. The deal now ties Wilson to Denver for 7 total years and $296 million. Another.
Wait, he's still like, what, 80 mil off of what Deshaun Watson got guaranteed, though? That's crazy.
Don't say that. That's awful. When you put it that way, that is awful. And by the way, the other sort of little NFL knickknack, the Eagles, in case you missed it yesterday, traded wide receiver Jalen Reagor to the Vikings. In return, the Eagles receive a 2023 seventh rounder and a 2024 conditional fourth rounder that would downgrade to a fifth rounder if certain statistical marks are not met. Keep in mind, Jalen Reagor was a 21st pick in the 2020 draft. He was largely considered a overdraft at that point. Like, wow, Rager's going 21st. You remember who the 22nd pick was?
Who?
Justin Jefferson.
Oh, man.
So not only do the Eagles... did they miss on Justin Jefferson going with Reagor? Now the Vikings end up with both of them.
I think it's a great gamble for Minnesota because it's you're getting them on the cheap, obviously, and they utilize those two wide receivers so much that if you can get a third guy in the mix, anyone, anywhere, I think it's going to help big time.
You know what Jalen Reagor is? He's a new man on the Minnesota. Sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, his name is Will Hill. He's the host of the New York City Cast, and we are pleased to have him here with us. How you doing, Will?
The only reason you brought up the Jalen Reagor news is so you could get your little Minnesota Vikings line in, which I appreciated.
It's not
it
true.
It was catchy. It was amusing.
It's not true. It's in the rundown. Kelly Bidlin gives me a rundown. I've never seen a rundown in my life before. It's fantastic.
Osborne's actually a pretty good third receiver for the Vikings. I like Osborne quite a bit.
Just to be clear, the new man on the Minnesota Vikings part was not in the rundown. I did add that, but it was there. Will, let me ask you a question. Before we get to your football plays, college and pro, the New York Mets, we opened the show today with about, 7-8 minutes on Edwin Diaz's opening trumpet?
Yeah, 7 or 8 minutes, yeah.
So last night, Jacob deGrom comes in with a cape, and this was like the ultimate send the message, like, I'm here and I'm awesome. He wins a pitching duel, he's as great as ever, and I just saw you do the New York City Cast. Does a game like that, you don't want to read too much into one game, but does a performance like that from DeGrom, who went 7 strong in a 2-1 Mets win over the 90-win Dodgers, does a game like that just make you think, oh, yeah, we're doing this in the postseason?
I've thought it all year with the Mets, really dating back to Thanksgiving weekend. I think we were on shortly after together, and I was like, this Mets team is a kind of a new day where they get Scherzer, they get Canna, Marte, Escobar. This is a team that for years now has been cheap. They shop at the discount aisle. They kind of went all in, and there's just been a new feel with the new owner, with Buck, with Scherzer. It's just sort of a new culture, and they've answered every test. I mean, they played the Dodgers 4 times in L.A., and they split the 4 games without Scherzer and DeGrom throwing a pitch, and I think it's 21 runs to 20 runs, 3 games apiece in the six games. I just hope we see this again in the playoffs. It'd be so good for baseball, East Coast versus West Coast, everything with the Dodgers in terms of their New York history, the great pitching of the Mets versus the great lineup of the Dodgers. It would be a lot of fun, and I'm curious what you think. DeGrom's starting to creep up to best pitcher I've ever seen. I always considered Pedro Martinez in his prime just because everybody was juiced up and everything was slanted towards the offense, and Pedro would still dominate and just be, you know, basically like a video game. DeGrom is reaching that territory. I know he's missed a lot of time, so that hurts him. But, man, when he's on the mound, it's ridiculous.
Those are the two guys. I think you and I have had this conversation before. Those are the two guys I lean towards. Pedro at the height of Pedro's power, and Jacob DeGrom. I think that's the list. Jacob DeGrom just can't stay on the field, right? That's the issue with him. So hopefully he doesn't run into any of that. So baseball plays today, moving forward, that is. Baseball plays today, what do you got? What'd you play?
Played under 7.5 in Mets Dodgers. Kershaw comes off the IL. Not sure how many innings you're going to get out of him, but his numbers are really good. Under a 1 in terms of the whip. Bassett is in the top 3 or 4 of the league in terms of soft contact, so he really keeps the ball off the fat part of the bat. So I played the under there. A weird 4 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern start for the Mets and the Dodgers, so maybe you deal with some shadow. So I did play the under there. Under 4 the first 5 in A's Nationals as Waldichuk, a guy the Yankees trade. I know he's got a big time arm going against Espino. I will bet it, but I won't watch it. So under 4 in the first 5 A's Nats. And then I played Mariners first 5 money line with Gilbert going against the Tigers.
Wow, you're all over the place. Like it. Little September baseball betting. All right, college football. Okay, you on Purdue too?
I didn't know this was a thing. Yeah, I'm on Purdue. I always looking to fade Penn State. I don't like the coach. I don't like the quarterback. This on the road is a tough spot. To me, Purdue's been great as a dog. I didn't know this was a thing where everyone was on him, but I guess I'm joining the party. Give me Purdue.
Kelly, give me your reaction to the Purdue chorus. You have anything to say about this?
It's just becoming a lot. It's becoming a lot. I don't know. It's one of those, you know, it might be a bet tonight, Gil. It just might be a bet tonight.
The other way?
I don't know. One way or the other.
Kelly's like, there's too many people on Purdue. You know how that goes.
But I look at, and I don't look at this a lot, but I looked at the splits in terms of the money line, the action. A lot of people were on Penn State from what I saw. And again, this was early afternoon yesterday, so maybe I'm not in tune with everything, but I didn't know I was with the masses here. That's not going to really change my mind. I still like Purdue.
All right, so Purdue plus 3.5. You have the three-pack of Major League Baseball picks. Anything else college football, by the way, this weekend that you're looking at?
I'll play Oregon. I think that's a big number. Again, I don't trust the Georgia quarterback. I could see Georgia being conservative, figuring, hey, if we get to 24, 28 points, we can win this game. I don't know if Georgia's going to go for style points. Still think Oregon's pretty good on both sides of the ball up front. So I'll play Oregon plus the points. Maybe I'll sprinkle a little money line in there just because I feel like week zero, week one, you know we're going to have it. We have it every year where a 3-touchdown, 4-touchdown underdog wins outright. It's sort of a thing where it happens every year because we really don't know these teams as much as we think we know. We really don't know in week one, especially in college. So maybe I'll take a little sprinkle here, Oregon money line.
Are you a Bo Nix guy, though, ultimately?
No, I'm not. It seems like he's been in college forever, too. Some of these quarterbacks, some of these kids in college, it seems like it's like the Rodney Dangerfield thing. They're in college forever, where I think it was UCLA I was looking at yet the other day. DTR, that quarterback, he's been there since Cade McNown in the 90s. He's been there forever. It's amazing.
Yeah. Bo Nix has been in college so long. We remember him in a big hyped opener when he was playing against Oregon, with Auburn.
That was a bad beat. I remember I was on the wrong side of a bad beat where all it needed was a field goal to win. I would still cover, and they got a touchdown with like 30 seconds left. I forget the details of it.
Wasn't it like 16-13 or something like that? I might be wrong about that, but it felt like it was like a really truly low-scoring game. Not a classic, as we call it. Not a classic. Okay, professional football. Will, as everybody knows who listens to a numbers game, Will is great for coming on in like July and saying, I've got a great Week 10 pick in the National Football League. Have you added anything? Okay, so Week 1 now almost upon us. Did you enter any contests? Well, I assume you did when you were here. I know you didn't come in fly in to do a numbers game. I assume you entered all the contests. What did you end up doing, Survivor and Millions?
I did just the Millions, and I'm in some local Survivor. So I got my little taste of Survivors. I'll make my donations there. As far as Week 1 bets, I did add the over Bills-Rams. I think as long as Stafford's thumb or elbow, whatever it is good to go. I think you have to take the field against the Bills with the mentality, hey, we need to score in the 30s to win this. This is going to be two high-profile offenses. I could see the over taking some money. You get McVay some time to prepare against this Bills defense. I think the one weakness for the Bills, they are not great on defense. If you go back and look at who they played last year, it's a lot of bad quarterbacks, bad weather. So that sort of hides or skews their defensive stats. So I could see some points in this game. I could see a 31-28 sort of game. So I do like the over here in the Bills and the Rams.
Over Thursday night, Bills, Rams, the opener for the National Football League. A week away, man. Oh, it's so great. All right, and then Sunday. What's your favorite play Sunday now? Week one.
Favorite play Sunday. I mean, I took the Giants plus the points just because I'm looking to fade Tennessee. I think Henry's getting older. Henry's had a lot of touches. I think they were a little bit fake in terms of the stats last year. They were a mediocre team that.
But I can tell in your voice, right? I can tell in your voice you hate this pick, right? Like you just can't stand yourself that you took the Giants and the points. Is that correct?
My fingers press submit. My brain, it was a conflict between what my fingers did and what my brain wanted to. I did take the Giants, though.
I want a live shot of Will, like it to three drives into that game. Like, I cannot believe I bought into this. A lot of handicappers, a lot of great handicappers we know, love the Giants this year. There's been some backtracking, but we'll see. We'll see how they do. Who's going to have a better year, Giants or Jets, Mr. New York City Cast? Real quick.
Giants, just easier schedule, easier division. We didn't even talk about the Yankees collapse. Now only up 5 in the loss column.
Worst record in a month since 1991.
Wow.
Any month for the Yankees. We'll talk about them every time. We'll talk about them next time, Will. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. And by the way, I got to go. See ya.
William Hilliam, everybody. Coming back with Drew Dinsick on tennis next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Always appreciate that. And don't forget, right now, attention BetMGM customers, that is. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do. Here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through the BetMGM Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account, click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager's settled, you'll receive a $50 bonus as well. Share the excitement at BetMGM and get a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable site credit. Site credit expires in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. Pardon me. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9 here as well. So much more than a producer.
Hey, I try, man.
So much more.
Yeah, are you talking about my musical talents? I'm going to be kicked off this show.
You'll make it to the end of the week. I promise you that. Don't worry about it. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the host of both the Bet the Edge podcast from NBC Sports and The Deep Dive with Andy Molitor. And man, is this our time of the year. Tennis and football. It's Drew Dinsick. How you doing, Drew?
I'm great, Gil. It's been an entertaining U.S. Open so far, profitable to this point. And, you know, I'm really loving the way this draw shapes up for some pretty outstanding matchups in the rest of this week and then week two.
Oh, man, what's coming is going to be unbelievable. By the way, I got a question. I'm curious your guess. A Samsonova Serena fourth round match line would be what?
My line would be about minus 800 Samsonova.
Yes.
I think the market's going to give us a crack at like maybe minus 250, minus 300.
That's what I'm
probably thinking.
Yeah. That's what I said at the top of the show. I was like, so people were like, oh, should I hedge on Samsonova? I was like, no, we're in a great position. Don't hedge. Stop. Yeah. No, this is where announcers help us. This is where the hype helps us. Great example.
I have a friend in the business who is like, should I be worried about you know, Serena and potential matchup with Coco Gauff in a semifinal up against Thursday Night Football, because that's like how it would work out. And I laughed. I said, "She's not getting there. Round four. I think she's live against Tomljanovic. I don't rate Tomljanovic especially well.
I agree.
But Samsonova, Ludmilla, if you don't already know,
yeah, that's right.
She's a truck.
She is the best. Like I said, she's not the greatest women's tennis player in the world, but currently on planet Earth. She is the best hard court player on planet Earth by the numbers. Yeah. As far as today,
reminds me of Jabeur on grass.
Yes.
Like the market just doesn't respect the fact that these are her conditions.
Jabeur on the tennis surface of grass is what he means, Kelly, just if you're scoring at home. okay, so here's the deal. Do people still use that word? I don't think they do. So today, this was my experience looking over the handicap last night. And I'm curious if you had the same experience. I go to the men's side, and I'm literally like, I don't think I have a bet. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I went to the women's side, and there's literally, and I'm getting a bunch of tweets because people want to know my other leans, but I was like, there might be up to 7 dogs I could play here. I ended up on 2. So, again, it comes down to, did I pick the right ones in the end, the ones that I thought were the best? What did you end up with, and was that similar to your experience last night?
Yes, exactly the same. I took one shot on the men's side on Brouwer against Musetti just because Musetti played – it was like a 5-hour match, but it felt like a 55-hour match against David Goffin in round one. And so him no showing might be, you know, it's in the cards. Brouwer, I don't think, is an especially great player, but he spent a lot less time on court in a lot, you know, more favorable conditions. So I think Musetti is ripe for an upset. Otherwise, men's side looks like chalk.
Yes.
Women's side, I sprayed the ducks. There is, you said 7 had value for you?
I said there was, I ended up betting 2, and there were 5 other that I had leans on.
Yeah, I think I showed value on 9 dogs. I ended up playing 5.
Okay, who'd you play? This is awesome.
My favorite is Kostyuk.
Oh, I think that was one of my leans.
She takes down Vika.
She was one of my leans.
Niemeyer takes down Pooch.
She was another one of my leans.
Siniakova takes out Cornet.
That was not.
You're not? Okay, so I think this is it for Cornet, frankly. The too many double faults in that match against Raducanu. Raducanu was not, she was not rated properly coming into this tournament, and I think Cornet game matches up poorly against Siniakova. Linda Fruvitova.
She was one of my plays. She was one of my plays. Yeah,
you know, she's coming up out of the Muratoglu category, academy, and, she is the future of, future factor in a lot of, women's tennis, but, very, very interesting test against Muguruza, who is obviously, you know, two-time slam winner and is playing with a little more confidence than she has been for the rest of 2022. So interesting matchup. I just think the price is right at plus 150-ish. Buzkova was not a dog, but is, you know, I show value for her.
Buzkova was my other play. Yeah. So Fruvertova and Buzkova were two of my three. Yeah.
Yeah. And, and that's it for me.
How funny that we ended up on the same favorite, Buzkova, as well. So my yeah. other play was
I
on...
I looked hard at Kanepi.
Yeah. And Kanepi was another lean.
Yeah.
The other play that I had, and I'm curious where you fell on this, I played Yue Yuan at a big dog price against Begu. You didn't like that one.
No. That's one I had value, but I didn't fire it on. So a lot of my angles today, let's see... fading Poots, fading. I think Zhang is solid against Potapova. Although I have enough Zhang in pocket. I don't need to add more at a minus price.
I am a pot committed, as they say.
Yeah, yes. Begu fall. A lot of these women elected to play doubles and spent 2.5 hours in the heat on you know, in the middle of the day on the court yesterday, and I think that could affect a lot of them. I think they're all kind of. I have red flags on a lot of them, and I think that's maybe influencing some of my value here for the on the women's side. Yeah, Begu fell into that category. I don't know enough about Yuan to pull it to, I didn't know enough about her to pull the trigger there. I just haven't seen her play enough.
The numbers are spectacular. It's just a question of competition, right? That's what you question always.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So your favorite then, as just a recap, you're on again, your top picks are.
Yeah, so I played Kostyuk at plus 150. Mm-hmm. If you can get that better than plus 135, that's a bet. Niemeyer over Putintseva. I got plus 130. If you can find better than plus 115, that's a bet. And then Siniakova. I played, Siniakova? It was a big number, plus 175-ish. I think that's good, in my opinion, to about plus 150. And then Linda Frutova is a dart. But I'm supporting her candidacy for breakout player of this tournament.
Yeah, it was more than a dart for me. I played it. I'm curious if you because your Kostyuk and Niemeyer were two of my other five dogs that I was referring to, even though I had leans on them, I didn't play them. Did you consider at all? Let me give you a couple others. Did you consider Christina Buxa at all against Danielle freaking Collins?
No, I think Collins is. In better form than I realized.
Yeah, I had Collins against Osaka, so I would not have. The numbers probably a little off, but I didn't play it. There's no way I'm going against freaking Collins.
No, yeah, I don't think you can. And for what it's worth, she's one that tends to kind of get the best of the crowd, and you know, to the degree that this crowd is really feeling this tournament because probably because of the Serena vibes. I think Danielle freaking Collins getting the crowd behind her, even if she finds trouble in that match, seems likely.
And the only other one that I considered but didn't was Petra Martic, a little bit of value against Badosa, but I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, I saw that too. I didn't. Yeah. I have her fair in the plus 135 range, and I saw 145, but I didn't pull the trigger.
Okay, man. I mean, this is just, and you and I had this talk. I started the show with this. It's like, globally, I get it. There's a lot of people who are going to be like, why is he talking about tennis so much? Well, first of all, it's a slam. First of all, we're trying to make money. But globally, this is besides, you know, soccer, besides football, this is the most bet upon global sport. It just is.
Oh, yeah.
And so the United States sports fan and better just hasn't warmed to it quite yet, but we're doing our part, Drew. And let me just tell you that the podcast you and I have done on tennis have gotten remarkable numbers. So maybe we're making a little dent. Maybe we're making a little dent.
I love it. But yeah, worldwide global market for tennis is growing. If you have a knack for in-play betting, talk about swings. I mean, you think basketball's game runs? You think team scoring a couple of times in a row in football is possible? Or a big inning in baseball? You haven't seen anything like you have in the swings in tennis.
So true. Drew, thank you so much, man. Always appreciate it.
Of course. Best of luck today.
You too. Enjoy. @whale_capper for Drew Didzik, our buddy again at Bet the Edge podcast from NBC Sports. And of course, the deep dive, Drew Didzik Classic, as we like to call it, with his buddy Andy Molitor. Once again, this hour, be careful. Going back to some of the things we said this hour, be careful with hedging. It's our pro tip of the day. If nothing has really changed from your initial handicap, hold off. If your perception of the player and team has changed, or team has changed, then hedge. That's the thing. And when announcers, like in the case of Serena, really hype up a narrative that isn't based in actual data or actual true tennis knowledge, don't let it sway you. That was our pro tip of the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show. So that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network with the NFL.